Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 9 minutes past the hour of 9. Alhamdulillah, once again it's a Tuesday morning, and every Tuesday morning between the hour of 9 and 10 we have the Attajir program. And in this program we discuss various business, economics and financial issues. Our host on this, our guest on this program for the past 2 or 3 weeks now has been Maulana Ahmed Sadaria. And alhamdulillah, we have been having a very constructive discussion. Before we go into the discussion that we're going to have today, let us first welcome Maulana on the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the listeners. How are you feeling today, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, and we trust that you are well. You sound very good, alhamdulillah.
Yes, shukar. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with all His ni'mat and the greatest ni'mat of health also, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, ma. There is so much that we ought to be grateful for.
Bishak, definitely.
Maulana, alhamdulillah, we have been having a very constructive discussion, and we have been discussing the very broad topic of gifting and many, many rules that pertain to gifting. We took a look at the conditions that are essential to gifting, definitions of gifting, the word hadiya that comes up, the word ariya that is sometimes used. It's a bit different from gifting. We took a look at the word sadaqah. We took at words like the word hiba, etc., whether gifts can be given to non-Muslims, whether gifts can be received from non-Muslims. As we said, conditions of gifting, Maulana had mentioned and explained and taught us that a very, very essential and pertinent condition when it comes to gifting is ijab, kabul, possession, etc. So inshallah today we hope to continue this discussion that we have been having on gifting. Before we go on to that, we would like to remind the listeners, if you have any queries, you can call us directly at the studio, 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you can send us your messages, SMS, WhatsApp, 060-988-3972. That's 060-988-3972. I know normally people do like using the studio WhatsApp number, but that doesn't seem to be coming up now. So we would prefer it if you would, it would make it better if you would send your messages to the number that we have given you, because that is the number that we do have access to. Unfortunately, we do not have access to the screen where we could view those WhatsApps. So send the number, the messages or SMS to 060-988-3972. Continuing our discussion, as we have alluded to, we have said that we are going to continue our discussion for the third week now. We are hopefully, inshallah, by today we will then conclude the discussion on gifting. Maulana, we took a look, as I did give a brief outlook previously. One of the other topics that we also discussed was, sometimes people force you to give a gift. Is this permissible? Mufti Maulana explained that it would not be permissible to do so. It's actually sinful to do so. And then we took a look at other aspects as well, like example, can anything that is held as amana be gifted? Can a loan be gifted to the debtor? And then other things that we looked at is, what is the position of a gift made to someone but before taking possession of the gift he dies? Now this was a very, very important, a very pertinent point that Maulana mentioned, because from there comes the very, very often repeated question where people ask that, example, if a husband tells his wife in his lifetime, I give you this house, is this gift valid? Now, if you could just do a recap, particularly of that point.
Ji, Maulana, you rightly pointed out it's important to know these aspects of gifting, and especially the last aspect. Maaf about that, Maulana. The last aspect with regard to gifting to the wife, and it generally happens that sometimes in that situation, whenever the husband and wife are together, and the wife may sometimes demand or sometimes just say, depending on the circumstances, and the circumstances are such that maybe the children are not going to look after the mother, which happens today, really, that the environment is such that some of the children don't want to look after the mother, and the mother then is worried that if the husband passes away, then what is going to happen to her? So then the husband just says, okay, don't worry, I'm giving you this house in my lifetime. Now the gifting, as we have mentioned, three conditions, that ijab, kabul and possession, that's important. Now, there may be in this type of situation the ijab and kabul offer an acceptance, but possession in the Sharia is different to possessions, as we mentioned earlier, that of last week that possession is different in the Sharia than how people may in the norm take possession. In the case of the house, if the person, there's two scenarios here. If you're not staying in the house, the husband and the wife, and the husband gives the house to the wife, then that will be valid, provided the husband just gives the keys, etc., to the wife, and there's it your, this is how it is yours, and that will be fine, verbally. But where it comes to when they're staying in the house, there is a very technical difference here in the Sharia, which Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali has very emphasized, that if you, a person gives his house and he's got his own personal belongings in the house, then this type of gift, just saying that it belongs to you, will not be valid unless he takes out his personal belongings out of the house and then tells the wife, do you allow me in, and this house is yours. So it doesn't happen today, unfortunately, like that. So the fuqaha of the current time says easier way out is that just sell the house to the wife for a minimal amount, and although it's a sale now it will be changed to a sale transaction, but this will be valid for not looking at the aspect of taking out your things. So just to say that the house belongs to you, if that is said like that and not done according to the Sharia, that gift is not complete, and if the person passes away, then it will be gone into the estate, and it will be the heirs that will be in that estate will get the house. So it's important to discuss this matter with the ulama, with that how the house, if you want to give, will be valid in the Sharia. It's the same thing if you're giving it to your son who is staying with you in the house, or other members of the family. It has to be done on the basis of, as I mentioned now, on the Sharia side. But as I said, the easiest way out is do a sale transaction, then it will be valid also.
JazakAllah for that, Mulana. JazakAllah for doing the Tariqah for us and explaining the Masala again for us. I think it's very, very important. It's very imperative that we should make it very clear to listeners. You know, you should never ever gain the notion or the understanding and feel that Islam and Deen is something that is difficult and Islam is trying to make things difficult for people. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said it very clearly, Ad-Deenu Yusran, that Deen is easy, to learn Deen is easy, to practice upon Deen, upon the blessed and the chosen religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely easy. It's not that deen is difficult, it's just that masail of deen are very, very thorough, and the fuqaha have gone to a very, very deep understanding and a deep explanation of explaining this masail, because it's very, very important that no doubt should be created, and there should no, you know, there shouldn't arise any disputes in any matter, and that is why these matters have been discussed very intensively. But it doesn't mean that Islam is trying to make things difficult for people. Normally people feel that, you know, gifting is so easy, you just give something and finish, it's done. Islam is not making it difficult. Islam, with all its beauty, is just making it very, very thorough, and so that there remains no doubt in the person. Well, now we have, as Maulana gave this example, we have been speaking about gifting between the husband and wife. Now we come back to the topic of giving gifts to the children. Now we have discussed gifts that can gifts be given by children to someone, and Maulana mentioned that it's very, very important for when it comes to children, the children must be akil, they must be baligh. Now we're not going to, that discussion has taken place. Now we flip the coin and we look on the other side, that when children are given presents by their parents and family, a very, very important point comes about, is that when the gift is given to the child, who does the gift actually belong to?
Yes, Marana, it's very, very important in today's circumstances to understand this masala also. And a lot of times gifts are given. And if the father says, or the grandfather, to the son or the grandson, I'm giving you this to you. Now, there's two aspects. One, the father or the grandfather, who is the guardian of the child, in that case, then it becomes the property of the child immediately. The reason is that now there is no possession, because the child is nabalik, so the grandfather or the father is taking possession, giving it and automatically taking possession. So that is the one scenario that it comes. Similarly, if they give the small brother or sister, then it becomes the child's property. So this is what the normal law will be regarding the parents. Now, it's specifically in today's circumstances is where outsiders give the gifts to the child in the time, for example, when the child is born or at time of Eid, for example, they haven't reached the age of bulugh yet, or maybe khatna or aqiqa. Now, who does that gift belong to? Does it belong to the father, the guardian, the father, or does it belong to the child? I think I did question you last week, Marana, to ask me what is our urf regarding this, and you rightfully said, our urf in our circumstances here is that the common, that you are giving that gift to the child and not to the parent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the whole difference which will come in this, that if your intention is to give it to the father or the mother, then you have to mention this belongs to you, so then it will not belong to the child and there will be different rules. Now the father, if it's given to the father, then the father has a right to do whatever. He can give it to another child, he can give it away in charity if he wants to, he can give it to sell it, etc., because it belongs to him. It is his property. So this now will belong to the father and he can do anything that he wants to. But however, if it is meant for the child, that this is for the child now, then the father or the guardian does not have a right now to use that gift as he or she wishes, because now it's belonging to the child.
Mm.
So now if it's cash, then it must be put away on behalf of the child in an account, whatever account, savings account, or kept it one side, and one cannot use that money. It belongs to the child. Or if it's clothing, now the clothing, for example, is given at the time when the child is born. Now it belongs to the child, so therefore the father will now have two things he can do. If he sells it, then that money that he gets from the selling of those clothes will now have to be put away for on behalf of the child. But say if he gives it to someone else, as it happens that, maybe in the family, someone else has got another child, and generally the clothes are very good, that's correct. So to give it, there's nothing wrong.
Mm.
Then in this case here now, the father will now have to value that gift of the clothes, the second-hand clothes, if you can say, what are the value of those goods. And say the value comes 50 rands, then he will have to now put 50 rand from his personal money into the child's savings account. The reason, obviously, is because it belongs to the child. And whatever benefit that must be there will have to come to the child. So either you sell it, which can be whatever value you get, or give it to someone else. And obviously, then that money will be put into the benefit of the child. But someone explicitly says that I'm giving it to you as a parent, then obviously, as we discussed earlier, then it will belong to the father. So this is a very important masala which we don't take into consideration at the time that we are giving to these minor children, and therefore we should understand and make it very clear at the time of giving whether it's belonging to the parent. And if we do not say it's belonging to the parent, then I think our urf will mean that it is for the child, and therefore all those rules and regulations that I have mentioned earlier now, that has to be taken into consideration, that you have to now put away that amount of value for the child itself. So this is an important masala with regard to gifts to children.
Well, I think one very important thing to understand here is the masail of children itself, because many times you overlook and we think that, no, it's just a child and whatever they own actually belongs to the parents, or maybe sometimes the parents, elders, etc., feel that, a child's possession can be used by the parents in whichever way they own, because, sometimes the feeling is that the child, so to say, in inverted commas, belongs to me. So whatever they own also belongs to me. And we see this, as Malana has said, this happens many, many times where parents will use things that is actually belonging to the child, I think it's very important to understand that what the child owns, can the parents actually really take benefit from that?
Yes, if you are rich enough, then I mean you are the one there's responsibility given for the food, shelter, and clothing of the child. So you can't take a benefit from there regarding that, because it's a duty, it's a right the child has that you should provide for these things. So I mean you've got the wealth, so therefore no benefit can be taken from them. Yes, if you are very poor, then there is a different masala. Obviously, you can ask the ulama what is regarding that. But generally, our people can afford it, and therefore we should not take any benefit from it.
Ma, if a child gives permission, something that they own, the child is still not baligh, and the child gives permission, you know, sometimes the parent might ask the child, my baby and my darling, and can I use this thing, etc. That permission, is it valid in Sharia?
Ma, which child is going to say no, and especially the parent's father? So it's not permissible, because in fact, it's not, you shouldn't even ask that, because the nabaligh, whatever the nabaligh child says, is not valid itself. In the Sharia, valid means that the law, the consent is not valid because they're still nabalik. It's like saying, even Murana, I mean, let's look at so many other aspects that if the child gives you permission for certain things, then it's not valid. So here also, like for example, when it happens during the time of disease, when the parent passes away. Now, we know there again the masla is immediately there should be a separation of the assets so that there is a nabalik child who is then that child's assets at the time of inheritance must be given to the child. So therefore, the Sharia is so specific with regard to this that even those items, for example, that are belonging in the kitchen to, say, the father or the mother, so I mean the grocery items. Now people are coming in for tea and those type of things. You can't use the tea specifically now because it's a matter of inheritance for the benefit of the awam, because there is a nabalik child's inheritance involved in this here. And even if the child gives permission at that time, no, all these visitors are coming, you can use this to feed them or give them tea or whatever it is, it's not permissible because that's part of the inheritance and is a nabalik child. So that permission is not valid. Yes, but again, as you earlier mentioned, that our deen is easy. So now how you solve this difficult situation? So easy that the balik children, also that are balik or the guardian, say, we are responsible. Okay, there was, whatever is this here, we will take responsibility, we'll put this amount of money which we are using on behalf of the nabalik child, and we'll put it towards his estate. So there's no problem. It's simple. It's not that it's very difficult. If you want to do it properly according to Sharia, it will be done. So there it's also not valid. And similarly, here, if gives permission, that permission is not valid.
Marana, on this day, I see there's one question that has appeared here. The question asks, Assalamu alaikum, if a child is given an item to eat, example, somebody gives the child an ice cream to eat and the child offers the parent, is the parent allowed to take?
Well, Marana, here also again, I mean, if it belongs to the child, technically then it will not, parent will not be allowed to just eat it because, I mean, it's the child's thing. What should be done in this case, Marana? That the intention must be that it's giving to the parent on behalf of the child, and it will be made very, very easy, isn't it? I think that should be out. I mean, or in this type of circumstance, just say that this thing is for the parent and giving it to the child on behalf of the parent, that will be the easier way out.
JazakAllah for that, Ma. Carrying on the discussion with regards to gifting to children, now with one specific one, with one's own children, must gifts be given equally to one's children?
Well, unfortunately today what's happening is because we are taken around the circumstances of certain children, or certain children have maybe more love in our heart than other children. Yes, that's there's nothing wrong that if you love one child more, but that's the internal quality. But as far as your affairs outwardly is concerned, that must not show any type of indication that you are favoring one child over the other, especially with regard to gifts. That if you give one child a gift and the other one you do not give a gift, then what will the other sibling feel, the other child feel? That my mother is favoring or my father is favoring this child, and there will be now this barrier of love and affection which will be reduced between the child and the parent. That is why in one hadith it comes to the effect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and wanted to give one gift to one of the children, so Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked that, have you given the other children? also he says no. So he said, I don't want, and he wanted the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be a witness to this, that he's giving one of the children a gift. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, I cannot be a witness to this type of transaction where you are not giving it equally. So from there we learn that as far as possible, we should give each child equal gift. Yes, there are circumstances where inequality can be given. For example, now if the child is getting married, and I mean you have to now provide for certain things with the child, and other child married, so you can, I mean that's a special circumstances. Or for example, you have got 2-3 children, and maybe one of them, well, I'm sorry to use this example, but maybe it's an alim and he hasn't got enough income, and the others are maybe doctors or lawyers in professions. Now obviously those other children have got houses of their own, and now you try to bring this son of yours who has studied and give him a house. Now it will be an unequal gift because others, they bought it on their own. But he'll be permissible, obviously, because I mean the circumstances is that he hasn't got it and the others have got it. Or maybe, for example, that unfortunately happens today also, that one of the children are on drugs, or one of the children are gambling away the money. Now you want to give something to in your lifetime, so you give 100,000 to one of the child. But if you give it equally now to that child who's involved in drugs, what's going to happen to that money? So then you only give the one child. That under the circumstances will be permissible. Or if the children, for example, you know they're going to utilize that gift you're going to give them on sin. Some children are like that. That, I mean, they will spend it on something that is not permissible in the Sharia, whereas others got more taqwa and piety and they will utilize it correctly. So in that case, in order not to give that child so that he can increase himself or herself in the sin, it will be permissible then only to give one child. That's why if you're gifting it unequally, then consult again the ulama if this is valid or not. Otherwise, under normal circumstances, one should try and give it equally to each and every child. This will be the ruling of the Sharia, and not cause such a situation where the one child will feel that you are favoring the other child. And this is where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given the rule also, obviously, with the example or the hadith that I quoted earlier, that try and be equal to each child under the proviso that unless there is a valid reason.
Jazakallah. Another aspect to look at is now as we move away from children, the aspect comes about that can a time limit be put on a gift?
Yes, Mulana, it is not valid to put a time limit on a gift. For example, someone say that I'm giving you this as a present for 1 month or 1 year. This is not permissible because it's not a gift then. It's a conditional thing, so you're not giving. So that will not be considered as a gift, but now it will now fall under aria or a loan because you are lending this person this item to use for a particular time. So if it wants to be in the category of gift, then it has to be given permanently and possession will be taken and the person can do whatever they want to with regard to that. So there is no time limit that one can put on a gift.
Jazakallah, Mawlana. Must the gift be existing at the time of the gift?
Yes. The item that is being given as a gift must exist at the time it's given. If it does not exist, then the gift is not permissible. For example, if someone says that I will give you whatever this field produces, all the fruit from this orchard next year, or whatever offspring this animal produces, then all these gifts are yours. I mean, all these are yours. It's not permissible because you yourself do not have possession. And to give a gift, you must be the owner of it. You can't give someone else's property also. So this type of gift will not be valid because you haven't got possession and there's something that is not in existence.
Well, now to move away from that and we take another aspect into consideration when it comes to gifting is that, at different times of gifting, etc., and we'll take a look at a few of the questions that come up with regards to this. One such time is probably at the time of weddings, a couple is getting married and, people then decide that they want to give a gift to the couple that is getting married. Sometimes you find in the wedding invitation card is sent to the people that are invited to attend the wedding ceremony, and in the card it is, a request is put there something to the wording that no box gifts, Now what is meant there is that only monetary gifts should be given. Would it be correct to state this on the invitation card?
I think that's a very, very important question in the current times, and people are putting that on the invitation cards. With the discussion that we had so far on gifts, Masamana, that the listeners must have realized that there are more stringent laws in gifting than buying and selling.
Mm.
You know, if the condition that we have discussed is more stringent, in fact, that's what the fuqaha have said, that we have this type of transactions that have to be gifted, etc. The consequence of the gifts with the condition of exchange of a gift, we know that it's not no more a gift, it's a buy. But it is clear that there are two dimensions to gifting. While it is a voluntary act and encouraged, it is also a muamala in this sense that the Sharia has granted an individual absolute independence in his dealings. Hence the Sharia laws of coercion and usurpation are also involved in this. So gifting being a dealing is also left to the independent choice of an individual. Hence the conditions of acceptance, as we mentioned, qabuliyat and possession. So this implies an individual has a right to accept or reject gifts. It is a right and prerogative. We understand also generally of such a condition that the fact that he or she has a right to accept whatever gifts he and reject whatever he dislikes, the function now of this fundamental principle of gifting, if we analyze it on the aspect of this that's coming on the no box gifts, what is it means? In essence, the potential recipient, the bride or the bride-to-be, informs the potential giftee who is going to give that gift that he or she will not accept box gifts. That's what it means. From a view of the transaction, that I mean, a person has a right to reject it, that I'm going to only accept these type of gifts because there is an offer, but there is no acceptance, a qabul yet, for this. And it's telling the person in advance that I'm not going to accept this type of gifts, which is a norm that gifts are given. So, on this statement, let's just look at the practical view also, that we know in fact that especially exchanging gifts during the weddings is a norm. And the host, meaning the person that expecting the gift will say, okay, let's look at it, the bride or the bride that's accepting this this gift on such an occasion, must not fall in the also the aspect of israf also. There's gifting, israf, sorry, meaning that don't accept a gift. That's another portion that you shouldn't be accepting, waiting for people to accept gifts also. I mean, that will call in the cashier, not israf, but israf, which means that you expect something from people. So, this is a general situation. However, the recipients of gifts in this norm that we have also, they experience a practical difficulty with certain types of gifts. In many instances, what happens in the time of wedding is that there are duplication of gifts.
Okay.
At times, people experience also space problems. For example, they go into flats. And sometimes people also experience strange things in gift boxes also.
Mm.
So the purpose of gifts is to be valued and appreciated, not just giving. So gifting ought to enhance love. That's why we said tahadu tahabu.
Mm.
And it should not be a burden. So in view of the practical reality and the potential of the recipient when informs the person that there is no box gifts, in doing so, yes, they are exercising the Sharia right not to accept it. That is there, provided they're not looking down upon the gifts and neither he or she is demanding monetary gifts instead of box gifts. The intention must be very clear when they put this no box gifts. It should be, if you're looking at it, the practical perspective, then such a statement actually relieves one from also on the other party to choose a gift. Sometimes you will want to choose, okay, they require a kettle, or they require an iron, or they require this and that. But others have also given it. So now what does do? They have to sell it or give it to someone? It comes cumbersome also on the giver also. What decide? Either beforehand you ask the person, have you got this, and I will give it to you, whether it's a washing machine or whatever it is. But it's easier sometimes in today's circumstances to give money and tell the person that whatever you require, buy it on that. Because they will now receive whatever they want to. So the recipient or the bride or the bridegroom will have the flexibility of purchasing an item of his or her choice, which will be more valued, obviously, than a duplicated gift which may not be valued at all. I mean, even if someone has given an iron or a duplicated gift, now either they have to sell it, or if they're giving it someone else to the, as a gift, then they won't benefit on it. So to clarify the point is that to explain to that gifting a transaction, one has the right to refuse in a general or particular type of gift. However, in doing so, there should not be un-Islamic factors in adopting such an attitude that you are putting this no-box principle there, that you're looking down or you only want something that is valuable or something that you like, I mean, but there's something that you want to show off with, etc. So the phrase should not be used also to indirectly solicit monetary gifts. I mean, that's also a thing into consideration. So the giftee should review the intention all the time before inserting such condition. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam beautifully has given us a very few words. But not only in gifting, in every other aspect we should take into consideration, istafta bi qalbik, istafta qalbik, that ask your heart, your conscience, that are you taking this for any reason against the Sharia or inserting this condition. So this clause that you may be precautionary, so the people that are given this invite should not construe it as also something extracting monetary gifts. We should have good thoughts of people, obviously, Husnazan, and not rely on this as a subjective matter, meaning that no, always people are asking this because they want some other benefit. So the intention behind the phrase, no box gifts, should be for practical purposes and not to look down upon box gifts. In fact, the monetary gift, Mulana, could be equivalent to two or even less than the box gift. It happens sometimes. You just give 100, 200, and the other things cost you more. So the giftee should also not look down upon the small monetary gift. So if the phrase no box gifts is free from any un-Islamic factors, then it is permissible as one is exercising their Sharia right of not accepting a specific type of gift. Furthermore, there is no Sharia prohibition in putting such a condition. The etiquette, obviously, of gifts must be taken into consideration. It should not be interpreted as conditions of gifting, that I'm only going to accept this gift if you only give me the money. Obviously, that's not permissible. And if there are any other un-Islamic factors which we explained earlier, then there's nothing wrong in this gift. There will be the gift will be valid. And the un-Islamic intention that we have will obviously contaminate the gifting process and deprive one of the barakah and blessings of gifting. So these factors should be in consideration. But I personally feel, Mona, that in today's circumstances, because a lot of people give certain things which can be duplicated, I think it's easier to give the person cash. It will be more easier, or the person can use it easily, unless, yes, beforehand you speak to the person and say, have you got this, and I would like to buy this gift to you, then obviously the person already knows that, I don't have to buy this or get this thing here, or if someone asks, in fact, which is, there's nothing wrong in asking also. I mean, before the nikah or that, listen, can I buy this for you? Have anyone offered you this? Because you don't want to duplicate, and as the reasons given earlier, to make it easy for the future bride and bridegroom.
Yeah, exactly, Ma. You bought them the gift, even once it's duplicated and they have two or three of the same item, for them to return it is difficult in the sense they don't have the receipt and they're going to go back to the shop, there's no receipt, then it definitely becomes difficult for them in returning that.
An important thing you brought about, you reminded me that even though you can't return it, no receipt. And even say if you want to ask this person for a receipt and return it, the person that given it will feel bad now.
Exactly.
I mean, I give a gift now, he wants to return
it. Now he's going to see the receipt also, how much I paid and where I bought
it from. How much you paid and all that type of thing. So this is also another problem that if you want to return, if you've got duplication of items, you can't even go and ask the person for the receipt because the person will feel bad. And if that person comes to know later on that, I have gifted this and this person now has given it to someone also, they also, the poor person feels bad, which you shouldn't. I mean, once the person has got the gift, they have the right to do whatever they want to.
And, okay, Maharaj, Jazakallah for that. So I think it's very important, the intention should be kept in mind, and very, very important is the practicality in giving a gift. It's not just giving for the sake of giving, it's giving, to increase the muhabbat and the love, etc. And when you are more practical, then obviously that will definitely come out. Sometimes in duplication, one is the receipt, and sometimes you give a certain item as a gift, and certain people could be very specific, some people like in a certain item, as Manana was saying about the ayn. You get many ayn, maybe this girl, she grew up in her parents' house, and they used a certain ayn, she likes that ayn, now you brought a different make, and some people are very color specific, the room is going to be a certain color, or you're buying a dinner set now, the kitchen is a certain color, and the dinner set that you're going to buy is now totally off color, it's not going to suit that lady's kitchen.
Yes, I forgot about that part of the color specifics, you're right there. Especially women are rightfully also, they are color specific, there's nothing wrong in that obviously. But now it doesn't match, so maybe the other way out is that tell them, as I said, that I'm going to buy the dinner set, what color you require, and this is the thing, that's fine, it makes it easier. So if you want to do, you have to give the color item itself.
Like sometimes when they're buying towels, etc., then they ask them what color is the bathroom, and they have to match it to the tiles, and I think even the toothbrush. Okay, well, another thing is that when it comes to, as we said, giving gifts at certain times, is it permissible to give gifts to someone during their birthdays?
Before that, I see there's a question came to me here that certain shops have gift vouchers.
Mm.
Maybe that's also an easier thing here, or an advice, that if you want to gift someone, then in these type of things, or in any time, instead of gifting them or giving them a monetary gift, give them a gift voucher. I think it's a very important thing that someone has brought about here, that and let them buy whatever they want to for those gift vouchers. That's also you giving them an open line for that value, that you want to give 200 rand to 500 rand, go and buy anything for 500 rand from the shop, or 200 rand as a gift voucher, this is there, and that is makes it also very, very much easier.
Yeah, definitely, Ma. But probably, I don't know, Manana, your take on it, money is still more practical because gift voucher now, they're specific, it can only be from the shop.
Yes, that's also right, Ma, that it can be only from the shop, that's right. Maybe it's clothing, then maybe the value is not there, then they'll have to put in more value amount for that. That's also correct, that it'll be depending. Ma, some people give a very, very high sums of gift, then I don't think there'll be
a generous amount.
Coming to that question that you asked now, that can gifts be given during birthdays? We know that in our Sharia there is no such thing as birthday celebration. Definitely, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never celebrated birthdays. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala never celebrated, right up till you can see all the fuqaha. And so there is no specific function like a birthday in our Sharia. So therefore, this ruling will be that because there is no celebrations of birthday, there will be no gifts, and it will be not permissible to give gifts in birthday time, because there is no basis of birthdays in the Sharia. In fact, Moana, what should be maybe diverting a little bit from what the gift side is, but what should be our attitude during birthdays?
Mm.
Unfortunately today, Moana, we have placed so much importance on the birthday of the Christian era calendar than our Islamic calendar. In fact, if you ask people, if maybe today, maybe it's a little bit with all the different apps and things, you can find out whatever the English birthday was, what is Islamic. But people generally don't even know what's their Islamic birth date. Whereas in the Sharia, our Islamic birth date is more important than English. The reason is that a lot of laws come into effect when a person becomes baligh. Now, you know that if the English birthday, you will turn, say, 15, Islamically, about 6 months before that, roughly, you will become baligh. And all the laws of Sharia with regard to Salah and fast and those type of things come onto you that you have to perform. So it's important to know our Islamic birthdays. But even if you know the Islamic birthday, there is no celebration on this. And what should be the... Yes, there is nothing wrong in saying that today I am 16 years or I'm 15 years Islamically, and or maybe if you're the other English, there's nothing wrong in saying that I'm 16 years English on the English side, except that's nothing wrong. But if a person has this type of feeling, or she has this feeling that I'm so many years, there should be, in fact, a self analysis on the person, that I'm now turned 1 year older. What have I done in my life? That in this past year that I got one, Allah has blessed me, have I followed the commands and his obedience? And if you have, then make shukar, and if you haven't, then make tawbah on the past year. Not be happy on the fact that if I have got this one extra year, the birthday that I'm now one extra year, and especially if it's involved in sin, then you have to make tawbah and istighfar. If someone in fact comes and tells you that today is my birthday, then there's nothing wrong also in saying, may Allah Ta'ala give you a long life of afiyat and in his obedience, etc. And, you know, give dua of that type of thing. But to give a gift on this special day, that will not be permissible, because there's no celebration itself of gifting on a birthday celebration itself.
Okay, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. Manana, you know, we live in a multi-racial community, societies, many societies are broken up, and there's, you know, the very diverse people that live around us. So the point comes about, or rather the question comes about, that can we accept gifts given to us during Diwali and Christmas?
Yes, Manana, definitely. This is also a very important question. That gifts, we did say before that gifts often by non-Muslims you can accept, but now this is a specific thing during the festivals like Diwali or Christmas. We have to look at what is the position of that gift. Generally, if you look at, I'm talking about generally, Marana, these gifts at this time are regarded as a social custom. Is regarded as a social custom. And you take and you should look at it in consideration as a social custom. The recipient now will look at it on the basis of a social custom. Then the offering of gifts like sweets and cakes by the non-Muslims, or in the case of Diwali or Christmas, are not expressions of reverence to the festive itself. If it is regarding the reverence to someone and that was given, then it's not permissible. But if it is not on a reverence way, then it is permissible for Muslims to accept Diwali or Christmas gifts or sweets and cakes on the condition that there is no dini harm in accepting such gifts. And that's one, there's no dini harm. And secondly, it's not haram. So if they give you, like sometimes during Christmas gifts, they give you a bottle of champagne. Obviously, we can't accept that, because it's haram, the gift itself is haram. Or anything that is haram, you can't accept. Or there is no dini harm. Other than the general principle, it's not that they are, they're giving you reverence for the festive itself, but just giving a gift, that's a social custom, that like how we have during the time of Eid, people give gifts, that's how they give it. So if that principle there is that if they're giving on that basis, then it will be permissible to accept it. And I mean, obviously, the neighbors and things, there's nothing wrong in accepting these type of gifts.
Okay, Mulana, just to wrap up, we're going to try and go through one or two questions that we have. There's a question that comes here. I received a gift from my girlfriend during an illicit relationship. Alhamdulillah, I have now cut off this haram relationship, and the girl is now, she's moved on, she's now married to someone else. The gift that she gave me, can I still use it?
Mulana, alhamdulillah, we must... this brother at least has got the conscience that he's given up this relationship, and obviously, I mean, he's got conscience and should make tawbah and istighfar on the past illicit relationship, which unfortunately is happening today. What should be done, obviously, here is that the gift is valid, obviously, because he's accepted at the time, even if the relationship was illicit, but he should now, I think, discard everything of the girl by going, giving these items away, don't have anything, because obviously there will be thoughts of the girl that will come to him in the future. So try and give these gifts, or even if it's expensive gifts, try and give it away into charity, or even if whatever it is, so that he doesn't have any thoughts that are coming in of the girl when he's utilizing this gift that she has given in the past. So on the one hand, it's a good thing that he's made tawbah, and my advice will be that he should discard these type of gifts away.
Jima, especially in this case, she is now married and carried on with her life, and he should do the same?
Yes, definitely. He should also do the same.
My final question, can one accept gifts from a person knowing full well that he has unlawfully taken and usurped his sibling's inheritance? The word there is knowing full well.
Right. Well, on unlawful unlawful wealth, generally the usul is that we have to, anyone giving a gift, and if they got unlawful wealth, then one should look at the person that is giving the gift, the giftee, where the total income of that person is coming from. If more than 50% of the income is from halal sources, then it will be permissible to accept this gift. But if more than 50% is from haram, like some people may have usurped all the inheritance and it's got no other thing, then you shouldn't accept this, because majority of the income is from haram now from here, or the gift is from haram sources. So one will have to look at whether he's got other income from halal sources or not. Then if it's more than 50%, you can accept it. If less than 50%, then you shouldn't accept it. In fact, even the principle apply in giving charity to masjids and things also. Sometimes in this, people have wrongfully taken others' inheritance and give sadaqah to lillah to masjid also. If the mutawallis know that this person is giving from his haram source itself, then in fact they shouldn't accept it. Even if it's millions of rand or hundreds of thousands of rand with regard to the building of the masjid, because Allah is pure and Allah only accepts pure. So simply here also, if the more than 50% is from haram sources, then one should not accept this gift.
Just one more thing, that
thing on the question of that ice cream that came about, just a thought came now, that if he's giving it to the child, and then the child gives it to the father, then the father should maybe put a 1-2 rand in the child's box, just to save, that's the easiest way out. That put for the ice cream maybe at 1-2 rand, and put for the child in the child's money. That will be a good thing to do.
Okay, Jazakallah for that, Ma. And Jazakallah for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for the 3 weeks that Malana has taken out so much of his time to prepare for this program. Malana is very, very busy with the madrasa, etc. But Malana has taken out his time to devote to this program, and Malana has taught us so much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance.
I mean, Malana, as I said in the first day's program, it's myself, Jazakallah for Islam. You all have did me a favor, because if hadn't had this opportunity, then as Mama Salah Rahmatullah Ali said, the students, you shouldn't feel that they did you a favor. If they didn't, when they didn't come to you, then where will you should have given your knowledge? So the same usul, I must say Jazakullah to Radio Islam for having me.
Amin, Jazakullah, Malana. It was really a pleasure having you, and hopefully, inshallah, in the future again, we'll call you up.
Oh, yes, Malana, we are always available, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakullah, Malana.
Right.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you.
Amin.
For the listeners, Jazakallah for listening. That is the end of today's broadcast of the At-Tajir program. We do look forward to meeting you again on this program next week. Stay tuned for the remainder of the program on Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.